Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Inatech.
No, you're working at Inatech because that question is bull to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
Talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
Hello, welcome back to Saxon Jacks. I'm Tom Allen. Just Pat Weber on the board. After a nice holiday weekend, nice and hot anyway. But not horrible on the weather side. But kind of got a little toasty yesterday, I think, and Sunday. But before that, was pretty darn nice. And a lot of mayhem in Chicago as usual. Brennan, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
What did you accomplish this weekend?
I down over at our place in Michigan, a little bit cooler by the small lake here in camp, and had a nice 4th of July celebration down in our little beach area Sunday night when we saw some fireworks going off. We made sure that, unlike that NHL goalie, we stayed far enough away that we weren't hit by any of the fireworks. And we also stayed away from a lot of the violence that happened in Chicago.
Well, to do that, all you really have to do is just stay out of Chicago. I mean, this is...
And we did this weekend.
This is not difficult even for, like, a man of the lawyer profession, you know? So, if I don't want to get shot in L.A., mm-hmm. I think I'll stay away from L.A., you know, type of thing. Just saying.
Yeah, quite a weekend over there.
I'm trying to figure out here. I think we had... 700, is this can't be right, for God's sake. I'm looking for, 700,000, that can't be right, 700,000 guns were sold in Illinois in June?
That seems a bit high.
It does. Let's see. Oh, this is the background checks. How many background checks there were for people looking to buy, I guess.
Even that's a lot of background checks in a month.
In Guam, there were 391. Illinois, there was 700. That's unbelievable. Maybe this is total background checks. It must be. It's got
to
be.
That has to be something. That can't be 700,000 in 1 month in Illinois.
Last year was 700.
For a full year. I can see it for a full year, but not for a month.
June was last year 706. May was 661.
Wow.
Yeah, this is kind of off the chart here. They got every single state, every single year here. Firearm background checks, month, year by state. Wow. Statistics remember the number of state by state firearm background checks initiated through the NICS from November 1998 to June 30 of 2021. Well, that's a lot. So you find a state.
That's an interesting website. I'd like to take a look at that. How'd you find it?
It popped up on when I kicked up Microsoft site when you kick up your Microsoft Edge, the thing that comes up there with all the different mm-hmm. stuff on there. It was on there, and I clicked through. It was right next to Maddie's girlfriend, Paige Spiranak. She's on there like every other day. So, Brendan, you know, you're a guy, you're a Southsider. I'm not going to say you're a strong personality or whatever. And you have a lovely bride. And what would you say if the first thing she did after marriage, unbeknownst to you, was to throw out all your clothes and all your personal belongings, like all your shaving stuff, all your soap, everything that you have, she pitched. Would that be like a deal breaker on day two or what?
I don't know if it would be a deal breaker, but it certainly would be a big red warning sign, big red stop sign flashing red.
What she was saying is,
but I have to understand a little bit more as to what happened.
She just said she had to totally remake her guy. She got married. In order to remake him, he needed all new clothes. If he was using Old Spice, the Old Spice was gone. If he was using High Karate, the High Karate was gone. I mean, he just tossed out everything.
Well, you know, I have to admit that there probably are a few things that I could have improved on with my clothing and my my upkeep. But, you know, there are some old running shirts and some other things that I hope would be deemed to be okay and that we could talk about what needs to be remade. Like, if she threw out my Nehru jacket, I'd really be pissed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can understand that. Those things are hard to come by, fortunately.
They are. They are.
Fortunately.
And especially especially the paisley colors that I had, you know, to match with the that was very in at the time.
Plus, the question has to come, this is from the male logic. If you disliked everything about me, why did you marry me?
That's right.
You do have to ask that question. Maybe the female species can understand that she's just starting a rehab program or something. I don't know.
Or maybe the answer is, I saw that you have potential.
Yeah, potential, as they say in the South Side. I actually read this thing in, I don't know how we get off on this, I read this thing in Playboy once. This is back when Playboy was a real magazine, like in the 80s.
Where they had, you like, read it for the articles.
Well, but they did, in those days, I mean, if you were a big shot and you weren't in the Playboy interview, you were not a big shot.
I understand that. I'm just joking, yeah. Because that was always the line. I looked at Playboy for the articles.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, one guy said one of the biggest causes for marriages to break up was that women expect guys to change and they never will, and guys expect girls to not change and they always do. And, you know, I have amazing examples of that. Some of my friends are... Girlfriends never did any sports, whatever, and ended up playing, you know, like 100 softball games a year and umping boys basketball like the first person in the state, that type of thing. And you're like, that she did that? It's not this. I never knew her do anything in college other than, like, whatever, smoke dope. But anyway, I shouldn't have said that. But that's, anywho. But, yeah, we have, it kind of hit close to home, the violence the other day. And usually jumping all over the place. Some poor guy was riding on the Green Line to the University of Chicago over the weekend. It's a double major. I think he was in the MBA program. I'm not sure. Not positive on that. And stray bullet from the street went through the CTA car window and killed him.
Is that the one around 51st and Cottage Grove?
That's right where the Green Line is there, yes. 51st Street Station.
Yeah. I saw that article in the paper. It was really sad. But, you know, a lot of the things that happened on the 4th of July is, in addition to fireworks, people bring out their guns and start shooting them up in the air. And, you know, I don't understand why they do that.
Because
bullets to go up have to come down someplace.
They're stone-cold ignorant, Brendan. Now, I know Kim Fox would say I'm not supposed to say that. I didn't give a color to it. I didn't give anything to it. I'm just saying, if you're stupid enough to realize that a bullet that goes up does not come down, I don't know what we do with you. I mean, if you're that dumb, is there a reclamation project for that person? If you make it to age 35 and are that stupid, or don't care?
I don't know, but
I have to believe it's
horrific when you think about things like that.
When I lived at when I first moved into where I am now at Armitage and Seminary, we went to a New Year's Eve party downtown somewhere. It wasn't like in a hotel or anything. It was somebody's place. And on the way back, the police wouldn't let you drive anywhere near Cabrini Green. And I said to this one cop, I go, why are we avoiding Cabrini Green? The guy goes, because every idiot in the world is shooting off their gun, either up in the air or at another building or something. He goes, the gunfire is unbelievable. If you're even on a street anywhere near there, you're liable to get hit. And I'm like... Mm-hmm. You got to be kidding me. As bad as you can think of other human beings, you would never think collectively people would be that dumb. But evidently, they are. I mean, some people are, anyway. But it's like the people, was the goalie on, the Columbus Blue Jackets? Got killed with a fireworks
mortar? Yeah, got hit in the chest.
Yeah.
Got hit in the chest with a fireworks mortar.
I feel sorry for the guy, but good Lord. But there were people, in Audrey's place, there were so many... fireworks all over the place. I mean, it was scary. I mean, And one of the ladies down, actually two of them, that bar waitress slash bartender in the bar that's in our building, are these what do you call them, Vinny? They go to the there's a place in Tinley. It's a very good school where these most I don't think you have to be female. I think guys go too. Is you're like the equivalent of the doctor's assistant or whatever, physician's assistant, PA for a vet. And she was working the 14-hour shifts this weekend. She said it's a big weekend. A lot of, you know, the animals are crazed, and you're giving everybody Xanax or something for their dogs, and then a lot of dogs leave home. They just wander away. And plus, you know, people they get in fights because they're wandering some other dog's backyard. It's like one of the busiest weekends of the year, 4th of July weekend. Dogs going crazy because of their fireworks. But
they don't bother my dog for some reason.
You know what? Some dogs, they don't. I mean,
never bothered them one time. I don't know why.
There's sometimes there's a trigger. Our old mongrel, and he was a mongrel, but he never had a problem with thunder or anything until the Palm Sunday tornado in '67. And after that, he was a puddle. For first time he heard a noise or a thunder or anything, the guy'd be shaking on a sofa like they were coming after him with clubs. I mean, there was a trigger. And, Audrey's too, the poodle, he's old now, he can't hear, so it doesn't bother him. No, Maggie didn't bother at all. But when he could hear, boy, he was a basket case. They got all these earmuffs for dogs now and everything. Wow. Anyway, you know, a lot of that was going on, and there were some pretty nice fireworks displays. What did the city do, Manny? They didn't have an official.
They had something over the lake. It wasn't a Navy Pier. They canceled the Navy Pier fireworks, but I think they had a lakefront fireworks show. But it wasn't set to music.
No, and they didn't advertise it to where anybody came down for it, and they claimed that they had the guys.
No, it was just in the last minute.
They were just shooting stuff higher in the air. I didn't know you could adjust those things for that, so that people could see it further off the lakefront or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, the guy who is in charge of our fireworks here at camp, he's head of the engineering department at Notre Dame. So
really?
He goes out and buys a whole bunch of fireworks, and he can adjust the height so that people can see them from different venues around where our camp is down by the beach.
Well, when you say adjust, is it between 50 feet and like 500 feet, or how much can you adjust it?
Well, some of the ones that he had at the beginning of the show were probably about 30 feet high, and then he got them up to about 100, 150 feet high. Now, I don't know if that was because the ones that went higher were in a bigger canister, or if what the adjustment mechanism was, but he was able to adjust them so that more people could see them above the tree line, above the lake.
What is one of the big, huge monsters that goes up like seemingly 300-400 feet and then blows off in about 100 different little blue lights or something? What do those things cost?
I have no idea. I didn't ask because we had some of those where they have like a secondary and a tertiary explosion.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
I mean, they're way up there.
Yeah, they go up. Yeah. Well, they have to be because the secondary and the tertiary come down a little bit lower.
Yeah, it's a. Man, you have any idea? I mean, they got to be several hundred hours. Are they a grand?
I don't know what they are each.
Yeah, I don't know. What does it cost to sponsor fireworks display at Sox Park? Like on a Friday night, it's
oh, those are I think like $10,000 or $15,000.
Yeah, and they've got they're a pretty good sized show. They're not a funky show. Mm-hmm. It's a good deal. I mean, if you're sitting there watching,
that's right.
Anyway,
now you know that's not how much it costs every time a home run is hit, but it's probably a couple $100 when the home runs are hit. But the fireworks display that they've got after the games are $10,000 to $15,000.
Yeah, I know, because like you know, the different beer companies or people will sponsor it for that night, and yeah, I don't think it's cheapy. So Brandon, what?
That's right. So you think about that, having a beer company support all of the fireworks displays. What could possibly go wrong with that combination, alcohol and fireworks?
Well, I tell you, this is a long, long time ago. One of the traders, talk about a goofy story, one of the traders that worked for me, he had a friend, he was a good handball player, we used to play handball all the time, and he actually married this lady who was she ended up being a stewardess, but she was a model, and she was in the swimsuit issue of Inside Sports, which was, they had one, they were never as popular as Sports Illustrated, but they were, you know, they were right up there. And she was like 6'2", 6'1", and people, the Danes are tall, and, in that area they were. So we go over to this wedding, and these guys love their booze, I'll say that for them. You had a reserve, but they're really big on, you can't drive if you're drinking. So if you wanted a cab on New Year's Eve, you better have the guys signed up by like Thanksgiving, even though they don't do Thanksgiving over there. So anyway, we had our cabs back at the hotel, and so everybody's getting totally plastered at this party, and they love fireworks. I mean, they're taking the bottle rockets and firing them off all the neighbors' houses and cars and stuff. So, what are you guys doing? But they had stuff, you know, there wasn't like the big monster ones, but there were Molotov cocktails and stuff, and guys are like staggering over the top of the thing, like lighting it by hand, and I'm going, how could this go? Somehow everybody miraculously got out of there without any, but they were nuts. Everybody was totally bombed and blowing all this stuff off, and I'm like, I've never been at a party like this. It was like a Three Dog Night song. And Mama told me not to come to this one. I'm like, I just was waiting for somebody to get a Molotov cocktail in the ear or something, but fortunately they did not. And the neighbors didn't mind the bottle rockets bouncing off their houses either for some reason. So it was a interesting show. I've never been back to Denmark. It wasn't because of the party or anything. You know what they drink all this beer, and then they run around and give everybody shots of the, you know, the really heavy, Northern Europe is big on that, like bitters kind of liqueur, sort of like a, Gammeldansk or, Westfalen Jäger, the Smoking Dog, or what was the one they had here, Manny? They still have it around. They have it in the, I'm going brain dead. Jägermeister. It's like that, only worse.
Jägermeister?
Yeah. They're all real kind. They all taste like cough syrup kind of thing. Heavy bitters kind of taste to them. Ugh. Anyway. Brian, what do you think of, obviously the big numbers, the big problems now with the Fed and the employment report, and is the money getting too out? What are you noticing on the inflation front? I'm wide-eyed at how fast it's going. I mean, I'm stunned. I was, my brother's last night and my niece.
I am too. And I keep wondering how much of this is because of all the pent-up demand and the comparison of where we were last year compared to this year. And how much of it really is going to be temporary, if any, or if it's going to continue to rise, and at what point will there be a recognition that, uh-oh, something's up here?
Well, the automobiles, my niece and my nephew, unfortunately, were in an accident in the Eisenhower. Fortunately, they came out okay, even though they little bumps and bruises, but some car comes flying in from an entrance, immediately shoves across four lanes, kind of misses the fact that there's an 18-wheeler in one of the lanes. So the guy tries to avoid the car, moves over like onto the shoulder, and pins their car up against the concrete where the train is. So the car's totaled, but they walked away without any visible issues, squeezed a little bit. But so they just bought this car, I'm going to say, 18 months ago. I don't know if it's a Toyota, I don't know what it is, but it's not a Chevy, but it's like a Toyota or Nissan or something. Nothing fancy. And I think they bought it from a private party, for like $8,000. You know, it's whatever, it's 12 years old or something. So now, the insurance company is willing to give them like 12, because that's how much the stuff has gone up, and they can't touch one for less than 15. Same year, same mileage.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in 18 months. So, whoever heard of an insurance company giving you 20% more for a car than you just bought it for, then you can't buy anything. Mm-hmm. Can't buy anything with the dough. Anything similar.
Yeah.
I mean, it's dramatic on this car stuff and everything. I mean, and I don't. It's unconscionable to me after last time, Brendan. What after the Fed doing their thing, and it was oil, it was this and that. They blamed it on everything except the Fed's antics. And then all of a sudden we had inflation that cost so many people their jobs, it cost so many people their buildings, it cost every savings and loan, you know, the building, the people, everything. And here we are, you know, whatever, 40, 50 years later, and we're going through the same thing, and the people are given the same lame-ass excuses they did last time instead of pointing their fingers squarely at the Fed and said, you guys did it, and knock it off. And yet there isn't any... Mm-hmm. Major economic, reporter, somebody who's supposed to know something, that says, You idiots are causing it. What are you doing? I mean, back then they were mm-hmm. increasing the money supply by 12-13%. Now they're increasing it by like 20 for years. Well, the 20 wasn't for years, but it was 8, 9, 10. Then it got to be 12, and now last year was, you know, like 20-ish, 28 in, for over one 12-month period. And people are talking about, oh, supply chain this, supply chain, making up every excuse on earth, and yet here we are. We're going down that road. I don't know if you guys have been to a restaurant, if you guys have been to a restaurant lately, but I was doing my, took Audrey out to this nice place on Saturday. You know, I won't name the place, it was a steak place on the south side, and I was looking at a menu of one of the downtown places. If you go to a place now that's decent, Brent, everything on the menu is five times what it costs them. And every glass of wine essentially pays for the whole bottle, the first glass. I've never seen a multiplier like that in my lifetime, ever. I mean, for a long time it was, the restaurant was 40% of the list price is what they paid. And then it was a full, you know, maybe 2.5 to 1, 3 to 1. Well, then it became 3.5, maybe 4. Now it's 5 to 1 everywhere. I mean, if you want to get a slab of ribs, I'm doing it calculating on a menu. They're like $4.50 a pound pretty much anywhere. So what's a slab is what? Pound and a half, so you're talking $6.50, and the ribs are $32.50. It's 5 to 1. Whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, a steak was $60, and I'm going to say that steak is what you get a 16-ounce steak, which is a pretty good size. They're $12 a pound now if you get a decent one, even if you buy the whole piece and cut it yourself, which I'm sure they do. No, what's 5 times 12? 60. I mean, right across the board. Mm-hmm. But then you get stuck on some stuff where, you know, a chicken's $23 for fried chicken or something, and you're like, there's no way they're paying $5 for a chicken. You know, they're paying $4 for, you know, I don't think they're paying $5 for a chicken, but maybe they are. So some stuff, or if you get something that's pasta, you know, it'll be, linguine with pesto sauce. Well, that's not costing you $5. That's costing you $2, maybe. And if that's $20, that's 10 to 1. So they sneak them by you. Or a potato, you know. Mm-hmm. Potato is might be $5.50. Okay, well, they're not paying $1 for a potato. I'm sorry. So it's, I mean, it is really, you wonder if they're going to survive, if they can survive at that level. I mean, Friday, Saturday nights they can, but I don't see people just going out, hey, I don't feel like cooking, I'll go out and spend $50 on myself. I mean, that's a reach.
Well, I think the problem is that a lot of restaurants, I'm not sure about that one, but a lot of restaurants, especially in the Chicagoland area, cater to the business crowd. So when people run business expense accounts, it wasn't that much of a hit for them personally. it was, you know, just part of the job for the company too. But with travel being down, business travel being down, and I think continuing being down for the foreseeable future, that's going to have an impact. And, you know, but I do think there's also, there is something to the fact that so much of the inflation is being, things like the shortage of computer chips for cars, driving up the cost of both new cars, which are stopped being produced right now because of lack of chips. Therefore, increasing the price of used cars. Like you were talking about your nephew and his wife, that with their car going and getting $12,000 for a car they paid $8,000 for, but that's, you know, because the replacement value has gone up so much because so many used cars are now in demand. And I don't know how long that's going to last. And even like when you're talking about the restaurant industry, you know, I think a lot of restaurants are going to have to increase their costs just to cover their wages for their workers. I think that's going to be a huge thing, that in order to attract more workers, they're going to have to increase the wages for them.
Well, I don't disagree, Brian, but this is the hardest part. And first of all, I have no success doing it, right? You have to be, I guess you have to go to the University of Chicago for a while and have these guys beat it into you. There's individual. Any healthy economy always has inflation someplace from some shortage. There's a big difference between saying, "Okay, there's a massive flood in the Mississippi or the Illinois River that wiped out 50,000 farms." I mean, I'll use an extreme example where corn, you know, went from $3.50 a bushel to $4.50 or $5, and it's coming back the other way as soon as, you know, the next year happens. But there's no question that your that your cornflakes are going to go up, you know, those 4 months. I mean, we get that. But that's healthy, Brendan. I won't say it's healthy, but it's the way the body operates, the body being the economy. In some other place, there might be some guy who has a bumper crop of strawberries, and all of a sudden strawberries are down, you know, 2 cents a pound or something. So you have that stuff going all the way. The thing I'm cautioning against is when you have a general inflation level, and every single thing you pick up, you've got some, I'll use the term economic loser, giving you a reason why that particular item is up. When you start going down the line and you get to your 100th item, you go, wait a minute. Every one of these things doesn't have an issue. This is becoming a general inflation problem. I mean,
I agree with you completely. I agree with that too, that you got to look at the overall picture, but I do think that there are some inflationary pressures right now.
Sure.
That are beyond the control of the Fed. Now, are they still wrong in what they're doing? Yeah, I think that they're walking a tightrope right now, and you know, it's going to be very dicey to see if they reverse their policies and when they reverse the policies and why. But I'm in agreement with you that there's a lot of risk here right now for higher and more permanent inflation based on the Fed's policies.
Well, I think it's what's happened. I just was doing some bills before I went out to Orland, and sneakily, I mean, Illinois people, I mean, collectively are so ignorant with our government. I mean, I'm not talking about Pritzker versus the next guy or the other guy, but the amount of treading over people's backs that these utilities are allowed to do here. I was paying the gas bills, and I was paying them for all four units in our building this weekend, right, because it so happens everybody's going and going. But, Brandon, there's one gas line to the place. Every unit has a 35-hour customer charge. So if we use no gas, it's $140. Who the hell in Illinois allowed that to happen? Because all this stuff is run by the state, right? I mean, who allowed
it's that? It's all regulated, yep.
I mean, in the month of, where are we? The month of May, which last time I checked is not a winter month, I think the total gas cost for the building was like $400, $350. So there's taxes, there's customer charge. We use like no gas. I mean, what?
Yeah.
I mean, what? I think this has been happening the whole way. I mean, and that's part of the reason why your hamburger is $17 somewhere, is the gas bill is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Brandon, we'll talk more about it next week. Stay up there where it's nice. Are you guys there all summer or what?
No, we're actually heading back to Chicago later on this morning after the show. We've got some things to do later on today and tomorrow and Thursday. And I think Val's going to come back here on Friday, and I'll come back for Saturday.
Well, you know, if you're ever around some night, you could kind of look us up, you know, now that we don't have to wear masks and stuff. Just saying.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We might be over at... at the local watering hole in the Tripoli?
Maybe, you know, if you were going to be there, we might even invite Maddie, you know. Of course, he won't come with a couple of old farts.
I'd love to come.
All right, well, there you go.
Well, you know, the thing is, we could do it now because isn't Monday your bachelor night?
Are they still doing it, Maddie?
Bachelor?
I don't know.
Still on?
I don't know if it's on in the summer, but it was for a long time.
It was for a while. It was a... That was rough. The ball game's around.
That's your favorite show, isn't it, Manny? Don't you make sure you're in front of the TV every Monday night to watch Bachelor?
Well, my wife watches
it. Well, Brandon, you're in sort of a, I won't say a guy's bar, because a lot of ladies go there too, but they got all these football games on, and all of a sudden the deal the girls made was you had to play the Bachelor loud enough to where that was the sound. And all these guys are looking at these games going, what the hell are we, what are we listening to?
Yeah, I remember some of the stories that Maddie was sharing about when you and, when the two of you guys were over in the Tripoli and that gaggle of women would come in to watch The Bachelor on TV.
Well, I'll take a shot here at the fairer sex, but if some guy were to say, you gotta have the football game on for the sound, you know, that would mean one thing. But when the ladies said, it had to be loud enough. What it meant was 10 ladies were sitting at this huge table, every one of them talking, and the Bachelor had to be loud enough to hear over their conversation. That's like a whole different volume level, let's say, that we're used to.
Well, I can see you and Maddie doing just that to make sure that you hear the dialogue for the Bachelor to know what's going on. And I mean, I've never watched the show, so I don't know how it progresses, but, you know, if you're looking for competition or what the next stage of the event is. I can see where you want to know the dialogue over the gaggle of women that are sitting in the corner.
Well, there was a part of the show, and it wasn't some scantily clad lady that I was sitting there. I was so jealous of. The guy was driving around one of the classic old Ford Broncos, totally restored. The thing was gorgeous. And I'm sitting there going, how can I get that truck? I wasn't worried about the girl. He could have the girl. I'm saying, where did they get that truck? The thing is gorgeous. Anyway, so that's not the way you're supposed to be able to think when you're watching that, I don't think, but worried about the truck, but I was. Anyway, Brennan, thank you very much. SP Futures down a buck. SP Futures up 21. We're slow and mixed this morning so far. Be right back, Mr. Joel Uncannon.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howie, Mr. Matt Weber. Man, I can't help myself. Usually on a Monday, but today it's Tuesday morning. I go through the Hey Jackass and read all the shootings and remember all the places I've lived when I was a kid and stuff and how close they are to all my old houses. I don't know, is that some kind of a psychological screw up on my part or what?
it's easy to do.
I can't believe how many women now are getting shot. And people have, a couple of people here, they're in their 60s, and with the one kid was, one the other night. I mean, it's, boy, oh, boy. SP Futures, like I say, down 150. NASDAQ Futures up 19. Dow down 29. Individual stocks, Amgen's down 250. Well, that's most of what's going on with the Dow right there. And Johnson & Johnson down 97. So that would pretty much do it. Over in Europe, we got Jeff Bezos is not in charge, allegedly, today, even though he's the largest stockholder, and he's still the executive chairman of the board. I think he's probably still in charge. What do you think, Mike?
I'd say probably is.
I'd say, we'll lob that one out there. DAX up 57.4%. Down 57, down 4%. 0.4. FTSE down 15.2%. CAC around down 20, down 0.3%. So mildly bearish over in Europe. Asia, the Nikkei up 45. Now, these guys were exactly the opposite way on Friday, but they're up 45. That's 0.2%. Shanghai down 4, call that flat. Hang Seng down 70, call that, 0.2%. So down a little bit over there. As Friday, Dow was up 152. NASDAQ up 116. S&P was up 32. That's a pretty big move in the S&P. Bonds today are 1.42. The Bund minus 0.22. It's the 10-year rates. Japan positive 0.04. Oil with another move to the upside, 76.21. Got some people, I'm going to say they're long oil, Matty, calling for $100 oil. It's up $1.05. Brent, however, is down a penny, 77.15. So we talked last week about that spread being down to like 30 cents, 20 cents. We'd never seen it that low. Now it's popped out to like 90 cents, which is a little more normal, but usually more than that. But today is the day when the spread is equalizing here for some reason. We're going back a little more to historical numbers. Natural gas up 4 cents, 374. It's got to be a July record, forever. RBOB is up a penny, 231. So you're not going to get $2 gas anymore if the wholesale price is 231. Actually, it was down a little bit for me, man. I paid $2.35 and last week, I think it was $3.35. Last week was $3.49, I think. Gold up $24. Wow, $18.07 barreling through that $1,800 number. Silver up 22 cents, $26.72. Copper up 9 cents, $4.37. And we got our favorite crypto, Bitcoin down 212 at 33,925. What do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
38 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have one crash in the area. That's on the Dan Ryan Express lanes on the inbound side just before 47th Street. That's blocking the left lane of the express lanes, and that's causing a slowdown on the inbound Ryan. But everything else is all quiet out there on the area expressways. Very light traffic, a holiday week, a lot of people on vacation this week, and traffic is responding accordingly. Off the expressways in the western suburbs, there's a crash in Glen Ellyn, North Avenue at Glen Ellyn Road, which is Main Street there. There's a crash. But everything else all quiet. Weather today, sunny and hot, a high of 90. Right now it's clear and 78 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 110 today. Right now it's clear and 91. In sports, the White Sox lost to the Twins 8-5. Cubs 10 days ago were in first place, Chief. Now they've lost 10 in a row. They were blown out by the Phillies 13-3 as they continue to spiral. Diamondbacks were off. They'll host the Rockies tonight. Stanley Cup Finals. It was Montreal staying alive. They topped Tampa Bay 3-2. And the Lightning now lead that series 3-1. And the NBA Finals begin tonight. Milwaukee versus our Phoenix Suns. Chief.
The OPEC is fighting internally. Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, so they couldn't come to a deal. That's one of the reasons, allegedly, why the oil is going up here. But I hate it when... Joel, how are you? Don't you hate it when the Saudis are fighting with the guys from United Arab Emirates?
You know what? They're getting what they wanted, higher oil prices. So they're in control with the pandemic. You know, everyone cut back production, and now they're just fighting to, you know, to get it back. So, wow, $76. I'm looking at the July futures contract. So till they get more supply online, path of least resistance is higher.
Yeah, it sure appears to be. How many, wasn't that long ago, where how many ships were just, they're using ships as storage facilities? Where do you suppose where did all that go?
It went into some very smart people's hands that that held that oil. I mean, obviously that was an artificial price when it went to negative like that, but supply and demand. There's a lot of demand, a lot of air travel, a lot of road travel. Boom, there you have. Higher oil prices, demand, supply. You can't get any more basic economics than that, Chief. When the whole world stops, there's no demand. And when the world starts up again, there is demand. You don't have the supply there, you get higher prices. Even I learned that in economics.
Yeah, what is the what's the initial, we don't want to go into this too much because we talked about it last week, like, for a lot. What's the initial flush of the Michigan football, basketball program regarding all these new rules? Is everybody running around trying to design a pay-for website so they can talk to people? Or what's going on? Is it being met with...
Yeah, boy, oh boy, Chief. Just was talking about this with my wife yesterday. I think that Harbaugh is kind, you know, maybe one of the things he's did right in his tenure here is maybe look at this as like a possibility and kind of, you know, slanted his recruiting that way. But I just think, I mean, how can you say that the strong are not going to get stronger and the weak are going to get weaker? I mean, Bama, you go to Bama. I mean, you know, your name and likeness is worth a hell of a lot more than you go to Iowa State or some other school. So it's just another thing that, I don't want to sound like an old fart that I am, but it just kind of makes me less and less enthusiastic about college sports. And I'd say college football. I mean, Michigan is definitely been trending that way anyways. Basketball with Juwan Howard's a different thing, but it's here to stay. And you mentioned it too, you know. How are you gonna, the person that probably needs the money most is your third string 200 butterflyer on the women's swim team. I mean, she ain't gonna be getting no money, so it's gonna be interesting to see how it's distributed, how it works out. And you got to look at it both ways because these universities have been raking money off these, you know, the TV contracts. I mean, it's been going on for years, and now there's going to be an equilibrium. And I just hope that
I just hope they figure it out. It seems like they were forced to pass it without really having the plan.
Well, I would say that at first blush, you know, and of course we're supposed to be, what are we supposed to be, woke now, or we're doing something. We're waking up right to, you know, gender issues and so forth, or whatever it is. I don't even know what the names are. But you know, I got a little news for the world that says that the female athletes are going to, you know, you just said the third string girl on the swimming team. I think that she has a better chance of being in somebody's gas station commercial than the big fat third string tackle. I just think, you know, I mean, just despite what we try and do to the world, the fact is, good looking people of both sides do well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think some of these ladies are going to do just fine in any kind of local ads or things like that. And I don't think it has to be, they don't have to wear the Michigan uniform to be recognized.
I mean, you know, that's, you know, without, you know, sounding sexist, you know, that's definitely true. I just, you know, what is she going to sell? You know, bathing caps or swimsuits or makeup? I mean, it's a whole lot, and they'll be a hell of a lot cheaper. And the companies will just base it on the return, you know, the risk reward. As far as the recruiting goes, I mean, you know, you're a big time football player, you're going to Alabama camp. I'm going to spend $250,000 on donate towards that camp. I mean, it's going to be so hard to police and understand, but, you know, we got it. We'll trust the NCAA, right, Chief?
Well, but you also have to be able to trust, you know, who's going to pay for it. I mean, got news for you. You and I aren't on commercials. There's probably reasons for that. Duh. You know, I mean, whatever. So what do you make?
The people that are giving the money are going to give the money. They've been giving the money under the table for 100 years. This is just going to legitimize it, giving money to athletes to get them going to schools. Let's just call a spade a spade.
Well, do you think that the Supreme Court, I think they're absolutely oblivious to that, except for maybe one or two of them, that what they did is open up a massive can of worms. If you say somebody can get paid, it means a booster can pay them for doing God knows what in the summer. But do you think they even...
Chief, I'm out next week. I'm going to Northern Michigan, taking a week off. I told Maddie, mark it down on your calendar so you won't hear my raspy voice for another 2 weeks.
Do we get your second in command and get to talk about replacing you with them like we do every time?
I'll see. You know, these kids, you know, they don't like to wake up early. You know, they just like to roll into work right when it starts. So I don't think I'll have second in command. I'll let you know if I do. Plan on nobody unless you hear from me.
All right, thanks, buddy. Enjoy yourself up there. Be safe. SP Futures down 3, NASDAQ Futures up 16. Be right back, Mr. Kenny Pulcheri.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, owner of Home Source Realty and frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks radio show. If you're thinking about purchasing real estate this summer, could be a good time to shop around. Whether you're a novice or seasoned investor, low interest rates and good inventory make adding bricks and mortar investment to your portfolio an interesting possibility. Many a great fortune has begun with the purchase of property. Call me today for your personal investment consultation, and I would be happy to get you started on your path to prosperity. You can reach me at AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com or call me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Is that some new music?
That's actually really old music. I don't know why I played it.
It's new for that particular spot. Before
it picks up here. It's a good song.
It's is it Kenny related?
Opportunities. That's right. Opportunities.
Well, Kenny's out there. He's always got his finger on the pulse of the world. Kenny, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay, but how can I phrase this? Always an odd question for you, but since you, let's just say you hang in bigger circles than I do. I have a question regarding this, the college ruling from the Supreme Court.
Right.
When you look at it, on one level, everything is, I always remember Kirk and Spock playing the three-dimensional chess. And on one level, the idea that the university owns somebody's likeness is pretty absurd. But on another level, the idea that people can go out and earn all their own stuff while they're allegedly taking a full-time course load and, oh, by the way, playing football or basketball or swimming or whatever it is,
right,
is reasonably impossible. Do you think, my question is, because I have a feeling if anybody's, like, met people from the Supreme Court and stuff, it would be you and not me. Do you think these guys have any idea of what they just did? I mean, what the can of worms they've opened up that allows you, and say you went to, you know, Sidewash State, that all of a sudden you're going to be able to have three guys working for you for the summer, or ladies from Sidewash State paying them $100,000, and by the way, they never showed up for work. Do you think the Supreme Court has any idea what in fact they just did? Go ahead.
I do think they know what they just did. I think there's a lot of pressure, right? I'm not sure I necessarily agree with it on the one hand, but I guess on the other hand, why shouldn't these athletes be able to go out? It seems that everybody's turning around creating NFTs and selling everything they can to the world is changing to earn money. So why shouldn't these young athletes that are going to college, that, you know, colleges are making plenty of notoriety on these young players. Why can't they go out and start to make notoriety, you know, make money for themselves? I mean, it's their athletic ability, right? It's their opportunity. So on the one hand, I get the confusion, but on the other hand, I guess I support the fact that they should be allowed to do it.
Well, I guess what I'm saying, the practical application of it is you just shifted the payment from maybe we might say legitimate payment by the university to the student to essentially third parties that you can't control. And I find that to do it that way, I find unconscionable or shows a total stupidity of the situation.
Yeah, but why do you say it like that when you say you shifted it from the university to pay to a third party? Like, explain that to you, because I'm not trying to stand.
Well,
I'm not trying to stand.
The big hole in the amateur part for a long period of time has been not that the schools. Well, I'm sure some of them cheat. As a matter of fact, I probably could find evidence that some of them cheat and actually pay players or pay an uncle or pay the dad or something like that.
Right.
But the thing that the NCAA has had the biggest issue with, the discipline, is, you know, some lawyer from Notre Dame hiring some kid in the summer, paying him $20,000, he never shows up for work. It's the boosters and the alumni and the whoever else. You really don't want third-party people paying because you can't or won't. Because it's just ripe for massive corruption, in my opinion. It's not the same as, I mean, you know, obviously your buddy Dr. J's, his younger brother, tried to do like a, and he was wanting to be an actor. One summer somebody wanted to hire him to do like a, like flannel shirt ads in a catalog, and the NCAA said he couldn't do it. It wasn't going to be his name, it wasn't going to be the university's name, nothing. Now, I think you and I agree, that's pretty absurd. I'm saying right now, all they've said is, okay, the incoming quarterback that doesn't have squat, all of a sudden he's got a website and he's got people paying to listen to him say something on Thursday night, say. Well, you know,
I mean, yeah, but you see, that's the beauty of capitalism. If people want to pay to listen to him say something on Thursday night, then...
Here's my issue with it, though, Brennan.
Good for him,
or
Kenny. I mean, listen, you would pay. You would. How would you love? I mean, you would love it if people would pay to listen to you, right? If they're paying to listen to this show right now, we'd love that, right? But that's not the case for us. But if you got a young athlete that's willing to now put himself out there and people want to listen to it, I guess that's the way of the world. I mean, look what's going on, right?
Well, I get that part, but I'm saying most of these kids don't have anywhere near that ability. But my point is if Saban or the guy at Notre Dame or somebody says, okay, part of your package coming in here is the quarterback is Kenny Pulcheri, who's a booster, is going to set you up with a website. You don't have to do anything. All you got to do is show up on Thursday night, and he'll make sure that you get $50 from 500 people day one.
Right.
I mean, you've lost, to my mind, you've lost all ability to shut that down. For PTI Securities to hire a quarterback at Notre Dame and never see the guy. Just pay him $100,000 for the summer.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hadn't thought about it like that, but I guess you're right. We'll see how it plays out, though, right? Because now they've made that ruling, so let's just see. It's already starting. You can see how fast.
Well, it used to be.
Let's just see how it plays out.
But it used to be totally endemic, and the NCAA has cut down on it to where, you know, even though I don't give the place a dime, I sort of had my issues with them. I couldn't hire a kid for the summer without filling out massive paperwork because I'm still considered a booster because I graduated 40 years ago. So I mean, I'm saying the NCAA has spent years on trying to corral this. The outside.
Right.
Now I don't have a problem if the Supreme Court said, "Hey, universities can pay people." I don't have a problem with that at all. I just don't like the idea that it becomes like Chicago politics. You can't pay me, but oh, by the way. You know, I mean, that's the way it is here. I can't write the mayor a check, but if his nephew's running for judge, I can buy 45 tickets to some stupid beer reception that I have no intention of going to. I don't want to see the NCAA get like that. And this ruling shows me that the Supreme Court people are sort of clueless to how the world works.
Well, I mean, listen, you know, you say it like that, you present it like that, maybe you're right. Maybe they have no real understanding on what it's going to produce, but I guess we're going to see what the unintended consequences are, right? Because there's always an unintended consequence from a ruling, right? They want one thing to happen, and then suddenly three other things happen, and goes, oh, well, we didn't expect that to happen, or we didn't, you know, it's an unintended consequence, and now we have to go back and figure out how we're going to deal with that. It always creates another reaction, right? Another unintended consequence.
But also,
so let's just see. It's new. We'll watch it.
Well, it also leads me to believe that they're, even though they're to the Supreme Court, the word supreme, they're not supreme enough to just tell these universities you just pay kids. They obviously, so Kenny, speaking of supreme, our supreme Fed, what do you make of all this? What do you mean last week? We creep up, but we're getting narrower and narrower again, so.
Well, I mean, look, Friday's NFP report was just like that, right? It wasn't too hot. It was the Goldilocks story, right? It wasn't too hot. It wasn't too cold. It was kind of just right. Not enough to ignite that conversation once again about inflation hysteria, Although I still think they're missing that boat, because I think the inflation story is going to be one that comes and bites them in the backside, and they're going to stand up and go, wow, we didn't see that coming, because that's what I think. But one way or the other, the market didn't think so on Friday. And look, yields went lower again. I think it was at 1.42. The Fed is still the buyer of last resort. The fact that they're still buying, you know, pumping all this money in now, especially in the housing market, is ridiculous, especially after Bullard last week came out. What was it, on Thursday, I think? He's a comedian. He came out on Thursday and he said, you know, he thinks that the housing market may be getting into a bubble and he doesn't want the Fed to be associated. I'm like, what did you just say?
Yeah,
you think it's in a housing bubble and you don't want the Fed to be part of it? The Fed is part of it. They're buying $40 billion worth of mortgage-backed securities every month, right? Even up here when the housing market needs absolutely zero support at all. But one way or the other, I think you're going to find out on Wednesday when the FOMC minutes come out. You know, is the conversation, the one in public that they're telling us, really reflective of the conversation that's happening, you know, in the conference room amongst the 12 members? Because remember what happened in, he said, Jay Powell came out and said, you know, we're not even talking about tapering. And when the minutes came out, in fact, that wasn't really true. They had been talking about it. At least they'd been throwing the idea out there. And so I wonder if these minutes on Wednesday are going to reflect kind of a contradictory presentation, right? Is it going to mimic really what Jay's saying, or is it going to have more of that hawkish tone to it that the Bostic and Bullard and a couple of the others have now been kind of expressing? And I think that's going to be the next driver, right?
Okay, when is, other than you and I and Tuesday morning, when is the rest of the world going to come to the fruition that these guys are doing nothing but lying to us? I mean, the dude comes out and he's talking about $130 billion a month. Well, the last 2 weeks when he's been in front of Congress and other places and trying to worm his way through where he has to actually talk to people, they've put in $140 billion in 2 weeks. So that's not exactly $130 a month. So, I mean, is there any sort of holding anybody's feet to the fire? Come out and tell me it's $100 billion and 2 weeks later it's $200 billion you did versus what you told me. I mean, clearly somebody's getting the real message and is making money on this, and other people. I mean, if you were a guy sitting on the moon of the moon, if there is such a thing, you'd have been all over these bonds going down the last few weeks as the inflation numbers crept up. And yet they've gone the other way. And you and I will sit there and scratch our head until we look at the numbers and say, hey, these bleeps bought $150 billion worth of stuff in 14 days.
Right, but I think that's their way. But you see, that's the Fed's way of controlling it, right? There are two different messages here. On the one hand, you get this inflation story that everyone sees, but yet the Fed says doesn't really exist. And then they keep going out and buying all this stuff, forcing bonds higher and yields lower. And everyone goes, oh, well, look at that. Yields are falling, so it must be true what Jay tells us. Well, at some point, you're right. It's going to come back and bite somebody in the backside. And I think it's going to happen sooner than later. I'm actually afraid that, you know, in August we're going to hear they're going to start talking about the tapering conversation at the end of the year. But I'm also afraid that there's going to be more talk of the mid-2022 interest rate increases, which the market is not prepared for. And if you get the tapering conversation and the interest rate conversation happening at the same time, that's going to create certain volatility ahead for the markets, and it's going to put pressure on the markets because it's going to be a very different story than the one we're being told. And I ultimately think that's what's going to happen.
Kenny, I am so hopeful that you are right and that it happens, that it happens that way in somewhat of an orderly, even though they've screwed up, somewhat of an orderly manner. What I'm really afraid of is take one step further than you are, and five congressmen and everybody in the paper, like a 1.5% inflation this month or something, where they totally say this man's an idiot. He's been lying to us for 2 years. What are we doing? The thing totally break out to where they're in a panic mode and lose control. And if that happens, I don't even know what the consequences will be. I'm hoping it could be ugly,
right? If that happens, it's going to be ugly. And that's really the fear. As a matter of fact, who came out? I saw yesterday's paper, I think, in New York. It was Nuri Rubini. He's painting a really, really dire picture of what it could look like. And I'm not a Nuri Rubini fan necessarily, but it's interesting to read his thought process, right? To read how he describes it. I think it was in yesterday's Post. You can get it if you go to it's just an interesting thought process, right? I mean, you should, and I leave myself open because I read all sides because I'm trying to get the view from, you know, all different angles. But it's a very interesting position that he puts up.
Well, the real quick was we got to dash the, I forget her name, which is bad because I'm going to talk about her. African-American lady, not Maxine Waters, that was at the last congressional thing like 2 weeks ago. And she got Powell up there, and she goes, to the effect is, I'm really tired of listening to you tell me there's no inflation when the people are calling me every day and I have a district and I'm there a lot. And I'm pretty much tired of listening to your BS. And you know, not that strong, but that essentially was the message.
Right.
And he launched into some transitory and some total.
Right.
But I mean, if it's another month, and I got to believe if he's talking in front of Congress, there's 10 people saying, telling the same thing. Saying,
right, we're retired. He's done a very good job of jawboning, right? He has done a very good job of convincing the markets that it's transitory. And I agree with you, and I agree with her. I think it's baloney, because everywhere I look, right, it's nothing but higher prices. And look at oil. Oil's now trading at $76.50 a barrel. In oil, and only going higher, right? And that's a tax on everybody, and it's going to start to show up, and it's going to be difficult for him to continue to say it's transitory, because I think there's more people now going, scratch back, going, I don't think so.
Well, the idea is they pour more money.
I agree with you. I agree with her. I think it's baloney that they keep saying it's transitory, but he's done a great job of jawboning and convincing everybody it is.
Well, he's not just jawboning. He's pouring people's money on the thing to prove himself right, and that to me is almost criminal.
Right.
Anyway,
right. Well, he can't. You know, he's not going to be able to do that forever, and that's when it's going to come crashing down. Right. When suddenly you just can't keep doing it.
But the question is, are you and I and my clients going to be short bonds on that day?
I don't know. Are you going to be short bonds?
I don't know. I've tried it a bunch of times, thinking it was the day, and it wasn't. So. I'm a little wounded from the effort, but I'm going to keep trying, because I think that's where we're heading.
Anyway,
Kenny, take care of yourself, buddy. I hope you had a nice weekend. We'll talk at you next week. SP Futures down a buck, right where they opened, and NASDAQ Futures up 22, so nothing's changed. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Here, right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. He's Mr. Matt Weber. S&P futures are down 2. NASDAQ futures are up 22. Just trying to yoke together here since we got this big rally again in oil this morning. And I'm trying to... I'm working two computers and two different sets of stuff here. And what I'm trying to get is a chart of the... XLE versus which I'm trying to get the 5-year chart here. I'm not big on this. How to work all this stuff. 2 years. We'll do max. All right. We're going back to 2019. We had the XLE was at again. Sometimes these ETFs and then the stocks are not reacting. I mean, this is not investment advice. This is just because I have a lot of my people in the GDX, which is the gold miners index, because I have felt for a long time that this inflation is going to work its way into gold. Well, gold's got a big rally today, but it's still only 18 something. I thought it would be 2,000 by now, and I've been wrong. But because we've had done something with the options, most of the people are still making money in there, but not as much as I would like. But one of the things that I also is again, most of the people that I deal with and most of the listeners have securities accounts, and it's really hard to have commodity. It's very difficult. You can't have an oil future in a security account, right? I mean, so if it's an IRA or something, you can't. So they have, what you try and do is have either, there's ETFs for them, which I would never want anybody in, the oil ETF, the USO, because it's done on futures and not actual oil somewhere, so there's a lot of slop and there's a lot of degradation in the whole system, but so it's not a very good investment long term. But the XLE is the part of the S&P that are all the oil companies, and sometimes there's a difference between even the, you'll see a rally in the underlying commodity, but either the industry itself, people don't believe it, they don't think it's long term, there's reasons why sometimes the underlying stocks either run with it or don't. And I'm kind of looking right here. I'm looking at the XLE, which had gotten itself down to, in 2020, down to like 28. Well, it's had a pretty solid rally back to $56 or so right now. Well, 55. It got 55 exactly here this morning in the pre-market. Now, the last time oil, the West Texas Intermediate, which is $75.90 right now, the last time it was close to there, this is a record from many years ago. Well, 6-year record we are. The last time it got close to there was July of 2020. Right, in July of 2020, I'm going to say it made it back to 74. Well, in July of 2020, before any of the COVID stuff started, well, maybe right in there, the XLE was probably 64, 65. So, even though the oil has made it back to maybe a little higher than what it was last year, the XLE is still lagging some. So even if you were right in predicting that the oil was going to come flying back, you have not done as well. And in fact, in 2016 or 2017, this XLE was 80, 82. It was 100 in 2014. So it really has not kept up with a lot of with the oil itself. Do we have Jen?
Hey,
John, I'm sorry, I'm just talking along here, but give me one more minute, because this probably interests you, is that sometimes you don't get the stuff back. And one of the reasons that in the XLE, and, one of the these are either sometimes you want to be in these indices and sometimes you don't. We're talking about the oil manufacturers index, the piece of the S&P 500, the XLE, versus the actual oil itself. mean, one of the biggest reasons is I think the second or third, probably the third, because I got to believe Exxon's number one, Chevron's probably two. So, like, the third biggest stock in the XLE is Schlumberger. And Schlumberger, you know, supplies, I mean, they were the supplier of record for how many years, John, of virtually every drilling place or whatever. I mean, they made all the parts. And, you know, people had different areas. I mean, Halliburton was big on the underwater stuff, and Halliburton's a competitor. But they never really caught, they were never 80, 70, 90% of the fracking piece, right? They just, they were a little slow in that area, whatever. But that stack used to be like 70-something. And it got down to, I'm going to say it got down to 20, which was unbelievable. And I wonder if it was ever going to go back up again. Matter of fact, I got a graph here of Schlumberger. And SLB would be the, and again, this is not a, any kind of a attempt to get anybody to buy it or sell it. It's just educational. I mean, the stock is $33. It made it back from, I'm going to say 12, 11, some ridiculous number. I got 1187. Well, the stock in 2013 was 120. So it's still, you know, whatever, a quarter, not even a quarter of where it was back then. So people, whatever, still do not believe that the oil situation with, you know, electric cars and God knows what else, they don't believe that the entire oil industry is going to make it back to where, even if oil is $100 a barrel, they don't, the market is telling you, and the market could be wrong, that the traditional oil companies are not ever going to be worth what they were before. And I don't know if that's right or wrong, John, but that's what it's telling you. Same way with the GDX, which is the gold miners index. They tell you that it's $1,700, $1,800 for oil or for gold, $1,850, maybe $1,900. That you know, it's not a breakout. Now, if oil were to go to 2,000, I think the extra 10% in the gold price, I mean gold, the extra 10% in the gold price will cause the GDX, those companies, to all of a sudden make 25% more, maybe 35 or 40, just because it'll all be profit. So I think if it ever does that, you'll see that particular index, you know, spurt to 45 and not just up a couple of bucks. But I've been wrong so far. I mean, it hasn't gone to 200, so I actually don't know if I'm wrong. But well, if it doesn't go to 2,000, I'll never know if I'm right or wrong. But you have to be, sometimes when you do these stock substitutions, essentially for the commodity, sometimes they're winners and sometimes they're not. And the reason why the XLE is not a big winner, sort of like the oil here, is because of Schlumberger, pretty much. And even Exxon and the Chevron are not up to where they were before. So it gets kind of complicated, Jan, because it has to do with people's perception of the future. And whether, you know, because obviously people think that if oil goes to 100 and people start producing more of it, it's probably not going to be offshore drilling. So those companies they still don't have any great urge to buy Schlumberger, Halliburton, the guys that do offshore stuff, right? Now they could be wrong, but that's why, you know, it's a very fascinating game, the investing in stocks, because just because you think oil's going to come back from, you know, whatever, $30 to 75, it doesn't mean Schlumberger is going to come back from 19 to 78, right? Because people don't think that whatever they specialize in is going to be the way people react to it. So, I mean, it's, like I said, it's interesting and it's tricky at the same time.
Well, and then you have, you know, the national or international policy wing and telling you that, you know, fossil fuels are a thing of the past, and the sooner we get away from them, the better. This, to me, is one of the great question marks of, you know, how this is allowed to become some kind of benchmark for where people are supposed to be by turning away from an energy source that's proven itself to be incredibly valuable, and all of a sudden we're just going to fiat it away somehow, and there'll be lots of alternatives to it. And what this does to stock prices, not just to oil, but wind and everything else, is just flabbergasts me that there's this kind of cavalier approach to reality, and it's taken a toll, I think, on markets and predictability for no real reason other than that there's some kind of agenda being pushed that this is the mindset we should have, and the mindset has certainly emotional appeal in the market, and, you know, that's always kind of left me in the dark. I don't understand how we can allow ourselves to be pushed around like this.
Well, I think there's several you just opened up, in my mind anyway, a whole bunch of different questions, solutions. It seems like everything we've ever done, though, Jen, in some ways, whenever you push the envelope, I don't think people ever thought that the nuclear plants would ever... I'm sure if you went back to when the ones for Commonwealth Edison, which they don't own anymore, by the way, were built, people would say this was like a really awful idea. You know, they're never going to pay for themselves. And, well, to the extent, until you include the cost of cleaning the site up someday when you don't use it anymore, you're never going to get a full costing approach. And that's as you know, it's one of my main my main bitches at the world, for lack of a better term, is that people don't have no idea, collectively, not individually, how to even input costs. I mean, we have people that are on national TV that couldn't wipe their way out of a toilet when it comes to, you know, cost accounting or anything. They use definitions that are wrong. They use phrases that are wrong. And I think when you're on national TV, you shouldn't do that. You should be more rigorous than that. Just saying. I mean, you shouldn't say the word demand when you really mean quantity demanded, because demand is a curve. And I've never seen a curve on TV, yet I've used the word, I hear the word demand 100 times a day. Right? I mean, somewhere, someplace, I mean, people should define what the hell they're talking about. But when I'm saying that right now, the cheapest electricity anywhere is these old nukes that are, have been depreciated five times over and essentially are free now, except for the cost of the longer we can keep them going before we have to clean them up, the better off we are. Right? So that doesn't mean a new one tomorrow, given all the environmental stuff and how long it would take to make one, is a good investment, right? I mean, so I've always felt that one of the, Jen, I went down and picked, how's this going to sound? Picked up a pickup down in Tucson and drove it back, right? When my parents died, when we were cleaning out the house and stuff, and I saw this alleged bargain, right? So I went down, plus I'd never been down there and I never drove back on 66, so I said, I'll hit a lot of buttons here. This is back when you could buy a used car for like a cheap price. We can't do that anymore. So I buy this old pickup truck and drive it back. And I'm driving across, it wasn't even a dead of summer. I'm driving across I-40, which now was 66, in northern Arizona, New Mexico, right? And I'm just, Jen, the relentless sun and wind. And we're right next to the Santa Fe tracks. You see train after train going by with diesel locomotives. And by the way, they're real efficient, diesel locomotives.
Oh, yeah.
But they're not. But I'm sitting there going, why don't we have some windmills and some solar collectors, and for this 500-mile stretch have, 100 electric locomotives and some wire, and have, I mean, if ever there's a place in this country that the windmills would be flying and the solar collectors would be collecting virtually every single day, why we don't have electric locomotives like we used to have during the war in this part of the country, even for just this 500 miles, you would think somebody would make a business out of that. I'm gonna make, 150 of these locomotives, because there's a lot of trains out there, and I'm going to have some collectors, and I'm going to run the stuff, and when you get to, Topeka, Kansas, throw the diesels to the side, I'll hook on my electrics, and I'll take it to California. And you just pay me, and I'll haul them. I mean, you would think that would be amazingly doable right now. But to try and have, like, a windmill in Chicago or a solar collector in, Minnesota in the wintertime, I don't know about that necessarily. But there's no question, Jen, that as we look around and as time goes forward, the idea of little pockets of renewable energy becoming big pockets in some areas is the way to go. If you use some patience and you do it when the world's ready for it, and you upgrade your service lines, you do those kinds of things to where you can shove electricity over greater distances without losing it. The idea that that's the way to go is, I don't think either one of us disagree with that.
Oh no, I firmly believe it, and I think there is market pressure in that direction, and there always has been. But there's a tremendous amount of pushback too, and I think it's like, remember when Chicago had electric streetcars, a huge trolley system, and gradually the oil companies made it so that buses became the way to go, and they gradually, within a very short time period, vanished.
Yeah, that wasn't gradual. That was like over a 5-year period.
Yeah, I mean, I rode on the last streetcar, electric streetcar. It was in like summer 1958, I remember, and it was a dinosaur then. but 4 or 5 years before that, they were everywhere in Chicago. So that what a quick transformation that was, and the push behind it came from, well, it's hard to say where, because it isn't like the oil company.
No, it isn't. It came from
GM into existence, and they'd always had tremendous lobbying power and everything else. But man, the transit companies around this country just completely had a brain transplant overnight. So,
Jan, that wasn't a mystery. General Motors came out with a massive study saying how much more efficient buses were, and they guess what? They sold the buses.
Right, and they were. That was true to some extent because you get more mobility, you could move around traffic jams with a bus. When there are fires or fire hoses and stuff, it was a real problem with streetcars. So yeah, there were certain pushes in the right direction away from them, but we could have still had a much more efficient system if we had some kind of a hybrid, and instead the whole thing just went
Well, Chicago Chicago was half-assed. And I'm going to say that here they were going to die. From what I understand, the best system in the country was L.A. And I think L.A. was segregated right away. For those that don't know what I'm talking about, segregated right away. If you run a streetcar down, say, Western Avenue in Chicago, and it's just in the middle of traffic, all you have is something that can't go around a car if it's stalled in front of you.
Right.
But if you had Western Avenue was a little wider, and in the middle of Western Avenue you had two streetcar tracks that nobody could go on. Then, if the traffic is stopped for everybody else, the streetcar still goes. So you always would want to be on the streetcar in a high traffic situation rather than sitting in your car. So L.A., I believe, had that. And you could get from one end of L.A. to the other for like 25 cents and get there like on time without really messing with L.A. traffic. You can still see some pieces of that, the one that's left in San Francisco, the Market Street line. It's not a cable car; it's a streetcar line, and I think that is segregated. You can see a couple in New Orleans, and San Francisco still uses the trolley buses because some of those hills are so steep. I don't know if the diesel can get up them or not, but the trolley can.
Right. The Stony Island one in Chicago, which is a huge wide street, when you get south of 79th Street, it had this parkway in the middle that was streetcar tracks and elm trees. And it was quite bucolic. It's right down this thing. It's just like the St. Charles Avenue streetcar in New Orleans. It had its own space. The pedestrians were nowhere near the auto traffic. The patrons of the streetcar were nowhere near the auto traffic either, and you didn't have safety zones like you had to have in Chicago where these people were standing between the streetcar tracks and two lanes of traffic. It was extremely dangerous, but if you had a dedicated right-of-way and space for people to wait and, for the buses or streetcars that came along, it was a real time saver for the cars and for the transit system.
Well, you could do that in Chicago now if you had a little imagination. You could take some streets and, actually, I'd love to work on a project like this where you actually, instead of this ridiculous, bicycles in the middle of traffic on your say these two streets or four streets are going to be bike only and streetcars, and run the streetcar north on one street and back south on the street next to it. You could do it. You could be, if you used your head. The best is in Amsterdam. I'm not exactly a world traveler, but I was in Amsterdam. And John, there they have like lines in the street where the cars can cut across, but you're not supposed to be in there, right? And if you are, they got a big rubber bumper in the front of the streetcar, and the cars over there are these tiny little things. They just take the car and hit it and push it out of the way. That's a little harsh, but hey, buddy, and off you go.
They're on the honor system, too. Yeah. When it comes to paying fares, if you don't really have ticket takers, you're presumed to pay, but there's nobody hounding you or throwing you off if you didn't pay. So
that would never work here.
I'm reading a little bit about this, and it says that the streetcars ran from 1859 until 1958, like John said, and that was the last time a streetcar ran, and it ran on Vincennes down on the south side. That was the last streetcar.
We lived on Wentworth in Chicago at the time, the 22 Clark Wentworth line that went all the way up to Howard Street and all the way south to 81st and Halsted ran along Vincennes and Wentworth and downtown on Clark Street.
Yep.
It's one of the fastest ways to get downtown from the south side.
There were
with the Chinatown and had a lot of free space where it didn't have a lot of traffic to contend with. It was great transportation.
There were 3,000 streetcars making Chicago had some of the most streetcars in the world, actually. They were horse-drawn trolley cars, and then they became cable cars in 1882, and then they became electric in 1890. And then they were electric from there on after. And then another interesting thing, so, you know, the bus line that on Milwaukee is the 56, and on Clark Street it's the 22, and on Halsted it's the number 8 bus. Those were the cable car number lines. And so then when they transferred to buses, they just kept the same numbers.
Right, they've never changed. And that's true for the Cottage Grove, the number 4, and a bunch of them. Even the route is pretty much the same as it was when there were cable cars on it. It's kind of astounding in a way.
Well, the reason for the Vincennes line was to get the people, not the only reason, but people from Bridgeport and so forth and all those old Irish neighborhoods.
Mount Olivet Cemetery.
They could get to their cemetery. Because the cemetery is on 111th Street. So the thing would run down Vincennes and then head. How far west did it go, John?
I think at one time it went to Crawford, and maybe even beyond that for, you know, they had like loops at the end where they'd, you know, take these meandering routes to get the thing back and to come, you know, in the opposite direction, and it would start the route there. So they would take these crazy routes at the end of the line. But I think the one on 111th Street went beyond Crawford. I got an old map around her somewhere. But it was a lifeline for that whole neighborhood. It made living out there possible, really.
Well, before the Orange Line was built, which is a subway to Midway, the amount of people that worked downtown that lived on, quote, the Great South Side, a lot of the guys, this is, you know, it's a sexist thing. A lot of the guys worked in a lot of the factories on the South Side, but a lot of the women worked downtown. They were secretaries, they were typists, they were cleaners of buildings. All those people came down on the Archer Express and the Archer Avenue bus. Many, there's got to be pictures of it on YouTube. The amount of buses that were running down Archer Avenue was spectacular. There were more people rode the Archer bus than the Ravenswood by a factor of two, Ravenswood L. And State Street, they had conductors in the back of the bus, so they opened up the back doors and they were shoving people on when it was a quarter and guys giving you a transfer. They would load those things up. There was no such thing as handicap spots or anything. You were jammed in like a sardine and off the thing would go. And it would only stop where there was another bus line. So they only stopped at Kedzie, Western, Ashland, Halsted. And the thing just raced down Archer Avenue. So wherever you lived, you took that thing and you got off at the street where you were, Kedzie, Western, whatever, and you took that further south and you emptied yourself out in Marquette Park or Inglewood or wherever it was. Inglewood had a L line too, so you could avoid the Archer Express. That was the beauty of living in. But I mean, how many people, Jan, took the Archer Express every day for like 40 years? I mean, it was like you jammed yourself on this thing and everybody's wearing a suit and there's no air conditioning. I mean, life was different. I mean,
in the evening, I mean, I took it a couple times if I missed the Rock Island train to Beverly. The last train was 12:30, so I take the Archer bus to Western, and then take the Western bus to 79, and then transfer to the Southwestern bus. Everybody on the Archer bus spoke Polish at that hour of the night, and they were mostly cleaning ladies from the Loop office buildings that were knocking off for the night, and they had their whole routine. They rode this bus every day with the same people, and, you know, you waited for each other at the bus stops. They'd ride home together. It was a very convivial kind of feeling. It was totally safe, even at 1 o'clock in the morning. You never felt there was
they were full
anywhere. You know?
My buddy one summer drove a CTA. This is funny. He drove the CTA bus, and he was not the most directional. He didn't drive till late, so he was a pretty directionally challenged sort of guy. So he's driving the bus, and somehow or another, he misses a turn downtown. So he's like 5 minutes late, and the entire corner is all these Polish cleaning ladies that work in buildings downtown, and they thought he wasn't coming. He goes, and it was raining. So he says they get on, they're shaking his. He thought he was getting his eye put out by the umbrellas. They're all shaking the umbrellas at him. What are you doing? They're like poking him. They were outraged. First, they were all wet, and second, they thought he wasn't coming. And they were not happy.
That's great.
That's me futures down 175. Nasdaq futures up 24. One of my buddies, late, almost. I didn't get lost on the Archer, whatever. We'll be right back, Stocks and Jocks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas, and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, owner of Home Source Realty and frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks radio show. If you're thinking about purchasing real estate, this summer could be a good time to shop around. Whether you're a novice or seasoned investor, low interest rates and good inventory make adding bricks and mortar investment to your portfolio an interesting possibility. Many a great fortune has begun with the purchase of property. Call me today for your personal investment consultation, and I would be happy to get you started on your path to prosperity. You can reach me at AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com or call me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howley, Mr. Mill Weber on the board. We have Mr. John Flanagan. I'm going to go through this stack stuff here, but I got this thing about Didi I'm going to talk about here, and people have invested in this thing. I don't know how many people got in the IPO last week, but it's Maddie, we talked about this when? Last Wednesday? 2 weeks ago when it was when it came out. And my exact words were, or almost exact words, what possesses anybody to list or buy a Chinese Uber, essentially, when you have no control over the place, and whatever, I'll talk about it after this. I mean, I don't want to be right ever about that, but sometimes I am. SP futures down a buck, Nasdaq futures up 26, Dow futures down 32. Individual stocks, we have American Express is up 360s. They got some good news, but we've got Amgen down 226, and we've got Johnson & Johnson down a buck 36, so not much in the Dow. United Healthcare down 84 cents, so I said not very much so far. We're in Europe. We've got actually we're leaking a little bit here. We were almost unchanged earlier, but now we got the DAX down 50.3%, FTSE down 17.2%, CAC ran down 21.3%. Europe is a little more susceptible to rising oil prices than we are, and oil prices are going up. We're in Asia, the Nikkei up 45, call that flat. Shanghai down 4, call that flat. Hang Seng down 70.2%, so very little action over in Asia. As a way of review, Friday Dow was up 152, S&P up 32, NASDAQ up 116. Bonds, 10-year rate, 1.41 here, it's down 1 basis point. The Bund, minus 0.22, down 1 basis point. Japan, positive 0.04, unchanged. Well, it's kind of the big story this morning, as we've got West Texas Intermediate up over percent to 75.97, almost 76. It's up 81 cents. Brent down 16 to 77. So we're trying to, we're kind of getting this, the spread now is a dollar. It got below that, so it's widening out just a little bit. Natural gas up 2 cents, 372. And RBOB up 1 cent to 231. We've got gold up $27 now, 1810, so it's a pretty good rally. Although it was almost 1900 a few weeks ago. Maybe it's going to go back there. We'll see. Dollar's going down here this morning a little. Silver down is up 30 cents, 26.80, so that's a big move in silver. Copper up 10 cents, 438, which has got to be a near-term record in there. We'll maybe talk more about that tomorrow. And we've got crypto is up $47 to 34,185 in the Bitcoin, which is somewhat maybe high middle of the recent range. Maddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
39 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Traffic starting to build on the Kennedy, but no accidents to report. Edens looks okay. Eisenhower and Stevenson, traffic building there as well. Those are probably our two slowest moving expressways, but no accidents to report. Southside is looking good if you're coming inbound. That earlier crash on the Dan Ryan local lanes at 47th Street is all clear. But everything else is all quiet out there, so I would say overall a nice driving experience this morning on a holiday week. Weather today, lots of sunshine, hot temperatures, a high of 90. Right now it's clear and 79 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy with a high of 110 today. Right now it's clear and 92. In sports, our baseball teams are struggling. Cubs worse. They've lost 10 in a row now. 10 days ago they were in first place. Now they're all the way in third after getting blown out last night 13-3. By the Phillies. That was a 2-2 game, I believe, in the sixth inning. And all of a sudden,
we went 4-2 and it was like the eighth. I fell asleep, and somehow or another, somewhere in the eighth and ninth, it
just completely fell apart. White Sox have lost 3 in a row as well. They dropped to the Twins 8-5. Diamondbacks were off last night. They'll host the Rockies tonight, 6:40 Arizona time, first pitch. But the big sports news for our Phoenix listeners is game one of the NBA Finals tonight. First time the Suns are in the finals since 1993, and that was, of course, the Charles Barkley team that lost to Michael Jordan and the Bulls, the Bulls' third championship. Game one, it'll be Bucks at the Suns tonight, so looking forward to that one. Stanley Cup Finals are well underway, and Montreal is still alive. They won game four last night, beating Tampa Bay 3-2. Tampa leads the best of seven series, 3-1. Gee.
The Tampa team is really good. I watched them play the Hawks a couple times this year, and the Hawks' first line could keep up with them. After that, there was no chance.
Tampa's been really good for like 5 or 6 years now. They've won at least one, maybe not. They didn't win two cups, did they, already? They've won at least one, about to win their second.
About to win their second. But they somehow have managed to keep that team together. I don't know if they're all going to go after this year like the Hawks, but now the Hawks are trying to get rid of Duncan Keith, or he wants out.
Yeah, the Hawks won 3 in 6 years. Which is about as close to a dynasty as you can do in the modern NHL, where you lose your the cap is so strong. So Tampa is trying to match that, and they've had a good run here.
I hope nobody's eating breakfast, but before I get launched into this DD, because I'm so aggravated with this, I'm spitting. But see the Center Disease Control. Now these are people we're paying. These are people who didn't do, in my opinion, a very good job with the COVID thing, and. The latest proclamation, which evidently is all over the tweets, the treat world, is the recommendation is that you should not go in a swimming pool if you have diarrhea. Do we really need, or what is their estimation of the population if you think for a second that people need to be told that? And evidently there's a video that I have not seen, but from what I understand, it has to do with a young girl who didn't get the message going down the slide or something.
Nice.
Oh, no.
Yeah. This is what, if you're the president, how do you not pick up the phone and say, what are you idiots doing? What do you think people need to be told this? I mean, maybe some people do, but I don't think there's too many.
Can you imagine the strategizing sessions they must have had before this? Leading up to this proclamation.
I'm sure they're all working from home, so it's all Zoom meetings. So today we're talking about diarrhea in a swimming pool. Really? Really?
There'll be a separate one about going into public, you know,
yeah,
bathing places like Lake Michigan. Or
you're like, anyway.
By the way, Tom, 111th Street streetcar ended at Sacramento, but the 111th Street extension, which was a bus, ran from Sacramento to Harding, just east of Pulaski. So I was able to pin down my book of maps here, the transit system, so it went almost to Pulaski via a combination of bus and streetcar.
Well, Sacramento, so that was before the cemetery.
After Mount Olivet, because Mount Olivet runs between California and Sacramento pretty much. And the streetcar stopped right there before Kedzie. And then the bus picked it up like starting in the 30s. Before that, there was nothing beyond that.
How would you like to have been that bus driver to go up back and forth a mile?
Oh, man.
Matt, have you ever been in New York? I mean, I think you have.
Oh, yeah, many times.
Well, how would you like to be the guy who drives the subway between Penn Station and New York Central? It's what, it's like eight blocks? He just goes back
just
and forth?
Just back and forth over and over again.
How brutal would that be? Anyway, the stock Didi, I mean, we talked about, I don't know if you remember last week, man, I didn't spend too much time on it, but we've had, back in the day, I can't give you these names and times, but it used to be that to be listed on the New York Stock Exchange, I believe that the stock had to be set up normally. When I say normally, when they issued common shares, the common shares had to be voting shares, right, John? And they had to be set up in such a way where when the stock went public, and essentially shifted ownership, at least for those amount of shares, to the people that bought them. Now, of course, you could have preferred stock trade on their stock exchange, and the bonds did as well, but the leader was the common shares, which were voting shares. And then, of course, that got, I don't know, whatever words you want to be, trumped over time. It had nothing to do with Trump, but co-opted, whatever word you want to use, over time to where now, okay, Google can have, or Amazon or somebody, Google is the one that is most of it. They'll have the voting shares where the people in charge, even though they want money for the rest of the world, they really don't want to give up the voting rights. So there's voting shares and non-voting shares. So there's Google A and B, right, John? And then I think there's, Warren Buffett did it. He's got A and B in his stuff. But there's a few A and Bs around to where you don't have the voting. And the worst up until now was Baidu. And Baidu, I think, well, this is Jack Ma's company, and it's the internet company in China, right, Matty, pretty much? And those are not internet, it's the Amazon of China. And that thing comes out, and now talk about convoluted. I think the shareholders get the income stream out of Bermuda or something like that. Isn't that the deal, Jan, or the Bahamas or someplace?
It's a very Byzantine kind of setup.
But all the actual assets of the company, I think, were Jack Ma's, right? And I mean, the trucks and whatever else these guys had. I don't think the shareholders had any part of those assets. So if there was a liquidation, I don't think he got anything. So now this is listed on New York Stock Exchange, I believe. Now, so we're getting more and more convoluted. Well, now all of a sudden, and you know, Chinese are flexing their muscles, and you know, Trump tried to do something about it, and he pretty much got roundly. Let's put it this way: nobody's doing anything about it now. Not to get into political discussion, whether you should or shouldn't, but it's pretty obvious that these companies, the Chinese government, clamped down on Jack Ma, right, Matty? I mean, is he still even around? I mean, is he just a figurehead, or they threw him out?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, the government can take over pretty much any company, which is so far away from the something listed on the New York Stock Exchange having voting rights and being able to throw the people out to own the place. We're not close to that. Well, this outfit Didi comes out last Wednesday, and I'm just sitting there waiting. Wednesday morning, I'm going, you know, how far afield of the way we used to do business here are we going to accommodate essentially greed, right, gentlemen? And who the hell, how can I say this politely, who would be dumb enough after what happened to, and again, I know we probably have people here, and I don't want to ever call anybody dumb, especially all my own clients. After what happened to Baidu, or almost happened, and Jack Ma, I don't know, for a while we thought he was in jail or something, didn't we? Why would somebody fall over themselves to buy stock in a Chinese Uber? I mean, for God's sake, how many warnings did you need? Whoever saw, if this thing comes out last Wednesday, it came out at, I think it came out at 16, but anyway, it was up like 25% Thursday or Friday. And then, of course, we have the weekend. And evidently, This is an article here by Sam, S-H-E-A-D. Is that Sheed? Can't be Shad. It's got to be Sheed. It must be a long E. Writes this article, and he's talking about the stock came out. Let's see. The Didi listed on the New York Stock Exchange last Wednesday with a market cap of around $68 billion. Okay, for a ride-sharing company, or an Uber of China. Stock in the company rose nearly 16% on Thursday and fell just over 5% on Friday. Now, unbeknownst to anybody, I mean, not anybody maybe, but all the people couldn't wait to buy this thing. The Wall Street Journal on Monday, now this is Monday, this is, well, yesterday, which would be 5 days after the thing went public. Today's pre-market slide in Didi's share price comes after the Wall Street Journal on Monday, citing people familiar with the matter, reported that Didi was advised by Chinese regulators to postpone its U.S. listing and review its network security several weeks before it went public. I don't recall seeing that last week. Doesn't mean it wasn't out there. I mean, I'm not the maven for Didi news, but, people here are buying it at an exchange here when the Chinese government's telling them that, now, of course, today, the Chinese government comes out, and says that they're going to do something to the place. The fall comes after China announced late Friday that new users in the country would not be able to download the app while it conducts a cybersecurity review of the company. So on Tuesday or Monday, they say that you guys shouldn't come out, and the company says basically up yours to the Chinese government, which is tough to do. And the people here say, we don't care about no Chinese government, even though they're obviously in charge. And everybody here buys the stuff, and now everybody's down 25% in 4 days. What? I know I'm being a little harsh here, but what is wrong, Jen? What is going on here?
Well, you'd have to be really naive to think that even somebody like Jack Ma, with the so-called millions and billions that he has, really has any control over any of that money. I think it's a question of how much he's allowed to say he has and how much he can really use, subject to any veto that the party, has over him. And if they want to, they can take it all. And there's absolutely no sense of ownership of any of this money the way you and I would think of it, like a Bezos or...
But how does the New York Stock Exchange and the SEC get kowtowed just by greed to this extent?
Well, I think it shows that they're kind of, they bought into this too. It can't be that they're naive, and I can't believe it's that they're stupid, but they certainly are enabling a system that is anything but what it purports to be.
But how much can you convince yourself that everything's normal over there just because they're going to sell you a shot glass for 50 cents more than if you make it here? I mean, are we that much rose-colored glasses or blinders, whatever you want to call them? I mean, what is wrong?
Well, we've really drunk the Kool-Aid when it comes to, the image that the Chinese want to present is what a lot of people here have decided to present. And it has nothing to do with the reality of what's behind the scenes, but it has everything to do with controlling the message. But for, the cooperation of investors and politicians and you name it to keep this kind of fiction going, nobody would touch any of this stuff with a 10-foot pole, but it's one of the great crimes, I think, in financial terms and political terms, human rights terms, that we've allowed this kind of, mixed message to be certified and stamped as official, and you got people who were just, surrendering everything in the process, and not just their own reputations, but the reputations of the companies and the safety of their stockholders and everything else in the name of keeping up some fiction about how free and capitalistic the Chinese system is, which it ain't.
I don't get it. I mean, now, of course, the thing's trading at 4:46 this morning, traded 12:06. I'm sure that, I will suspect that someday, somewhere, the thing is going to be trading 20, and everybody's going to say, don't pay attention to any kind of news, don't pay attention to anything, and sure, don't listen to this chief guy and his cohort, Mr. Flanagan, and this thing was a tremendous buy, just buy the dip and close your eyes, and what's the matter with those idiots? And that is clearly the dialogue that is in power right now, John. That you and I are a couple of voices out of the wilderness here saying, what are you doing? You can't, what's the old term? You can't lay down with dogs and not wake up with fleas, right? I mean, it's, and this is, but nobody cares. If this thing goes back to $20, everybody will absolve the Chinese government. They gave me a chance to buy it at 12. I love those guys. I mean, right?
Right.
I don't, how can we, are we, you can only be, I mean, people will jump all over the Biden group by all of a sudden becoming pretty much lovey-dovey with China again. And you know, getting rid of any of the, you know, what Trump tried to accomplish. And maybe Trump did such a crummy job at it that people don't want that anymore. I don't know. But right now, if you were to take a poll in this country, the poll would be, I don't want to hear about any slave labor. I don't want to hear about any of that stuff. I don't want to hear about anything. I just want to buy cheap stuff from China, and if I can buy stock over here that goes up, I want to buy it. That would be, not everybody, but that would be some super majority here, I think.
Well, the propaganda machine has done its job very well, and it's ground out really any kind of significant opposition to that story. So that, you know, it isn't even a question of people should hold their nose and do this. The message is there's nothing to be holding your nose about. Who cares about these, you know, people? Who cares about slave labor? Who cares about organ harvesting? You name it. These aren't even issues that deserve an airing, or they're not even issues at all in the public narrative that I hear. So it's worked very well, and you've got now, you know, everybody is banking on the truth value of this kind of ignorance of reality, and all it can do is contaminate the whole system. I mean, if we are this cavalier about this kind of, you know, investment risk in a country that is pretty shaky. I mean, the thing about China that is not, it isn't so much that they're draconian, which they are, but that they're completely exposed too. That you know, they're one step away, I think, from a major downfall. And it, whether it's, you know, an environmental issue or the Three Gorges Dam that collapses or an earthquake or something else that puts a halt to what's going on there, you're going to see turmoil like you've never imagined. And we're going to be stuck, you know, riding it out because we're so heavily, you know, controlled by them now.
What is the reason? I mean, there is a psychology to, you only really get pissed off at people near you because of something you can deal with on your level. And I've said this 100 times on the board at the CBOE, especially the guys who were the local board, the guys who were traders on the floor that were on the board, guys like me. If Matty Weber was a, you know, was one count off on his position limit, you know, 3 days in a row, he's a recidivist and he's a bad guy, and let's take him out and, you know, tar him and feather him in the town square. Because it's something, he thought he was making some money on something, and he went over the limit because I never go over the limit, so that's why he made more money than me. You know, so there's a you know, a level there. It's almost like a, you know, football game where the guy put brass knuckles underneath his pad on his hand, you know, so he could give me a slug that I couldn't slug him back. It was unfair. But they had real trouble dealing with like a firm that would go around and cross stuff that they shouldn't have been crossing, or screw a client out of an eighth or something, some place that used to happen. You couldn't elevate yourself to spank Merrill Lynch or somebody. I'm not saying that they were the ones that did it, but any big firm, you could never really go up and say, we're gonna ban Goldman Sachs from the place for a week. I mean, that was just not going to happen, John. But this China thing, we just absolutely do not care. In this whole COVID situation, I mean, we're going to still go after somebody who doesn't wear a mask. We're going to go after somebody doing this. And yet there's no stomach at all for saying to China, you're the guys that gave it to us. You knew about it. You knew it was coming. You never didn't tell anybody. Oh, by the way, you're still lying by the amount of people in your country that died. Where they say, how many thousand they say died in China? They still only admit to 85,000 cases or something, or they were a while ago.
The whole notion that this got such a start because, you know, we had a, you know, desire to fund gain of function research, but we didn't want to do it in this country, so it was offshored to Wuhan. And I think it was people were questioning, well, why were we sending money to the Chinese to research this? Don't the Chinese have enough of their own money? But I think it's clearly because of patent control and income later on from vaccines and you name it. So we were, you know, there was a level of the medical field or the political field here that's fully aware of what was going on and has struggled to keep a counter-narrative alive. But it's pretty shameful stuff, and you know, if the story ever were, to, if half of it were to come out, I think you'd have people here saying that the CDC should be abolished, and people like Fauci should have to stand for criminal charges, working against not only the interests of this country, but any kind of fair, you know, explanation of what was going on, because he had a stake in it.
Well, John, we only have a few seconds, but we need to discuss that further, because I'm going to say, if you're going to put him in jail, all the people that influenced him to do what he did need to go with him.
Of course, of course.
But how you find out who
that is? A sizable number of people, too.
Yeah, there's a sizable number of people, and they're never going anywhere. Anyway, S&P futures down a buck. NASDAQ futures up 22. Thanks, John, for filling in. We'll be back tomorrow. Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.